You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey everyone, welcome to a hurriedly recorded introduction. There's a guy coming to clean out the vents, and you might already hear his machines in the background. Hopefully I edited that out, though. Anyway, so quick plugs. Today, obviously, we're doing a Keanu movie. Keanu Reeves is one of our favorites on the show, so I'm kind of glad we're back to Keanu land, and a good action movie with that, so enjoy that. Second, I will be performing with Cineprov on Thursday, May 3rd, with the 1991, maybe? Matt Salinger, awful, awful Captain America movie produced by Menachem Golan. Though I don't know if it's a canon film or not, it sure feels like that kind of level of crap. And then finally, ESO's Patreon. Go to patreon.com/ESO Network. Thanks.
We don't go in there. You don't want to go in there.
There's a reason that chamber has no door.
What did she tell you? That it must have been a dream?
Rookie mistake, Doc!
Turn it up to 11 to Flask. Let's see what she's got. And smoke me a kipper. I'll be back for breakfast.
No, Doc, it's a rational transaction. One life for billions.
If you think that's impressive, wait until I get going. The answer's 1 + 2 + 1 + 1.
You must be truly desperate to come to me for help.
Dr. Geek's Laboratory of Applied Geekdom, Season 3, coming soon.
Welcome to Myopia Defend Your Childhood. This week we watch Speed, the prequel to Speed 2 Cruise Control. I'm Nick Hoffman, host of Myopia Defend Your Childhood and Riffer on Cineprov. And on panel we have...
Lauren.
And...
Hi, this is Daniel. I've still got that goddamn Billy Idol song stuck in my head.
Yeah, I don't remember which song you're talking about.
The song over the end credits to Speed.
Oh, sure. Speedening. Yeah. Speed.
That's actually not inaccurate right there.
Good. So this week we watched the Keanu Reeves classic with my boyfriend Keanu Reeves.
He's my boyfriend, don't you dare.
Oh, he's so good in this movie.
Mommy, Daddy, don't fight.
He's so handsome in this movie. He really
I have a thing for Canadians. I really do.
Well, I mean...
He's gorgeous.
I think, God, it's been a while, but when we did Patrick Swayze movies, I was just as enamored, but he is... not only good in this movie, but you realize in some ways the Matrix kind of ruined him because he's great when he's in an action movie. He's good in Point Break too, which we haven't done yet and we might do, but he's damn good in this movie and he looks good. I mean, at this point, we've got peak Keanu.
There are some little tricky moments with him, but yeah, overall, he's actually playing a character instead of Neo again.
Well, good with these action movies because his acting is so bad. That's what these kind of movies need.
Hey. That's really mean. You're being really mean to me right now.
I mean, like, his one little hissy fit where he finds out that Jeff Daniels dies, he's just like,
That was pretty good.
And he starts throwing around profanity. But
we're all gonna fucking die.
Pop quiz, asshole. You have a gun pointed at your head. What do you do?
I dodge the bullet.
I know kung fu. I mean, now we're talking some saucy Keanu here. I'll be honest, I kind of try to see everything he's in. No, I mean it because no,
even Sweet November.
I saw Sweet November.
Oh, good Lord.
He's not good in it, but he's one of the few actors who really tempts me in a way that Harrison Ford kind of does again now. In the mid-90s, he didn't. He hurt my trust. Because, I mean, other than Air Force One, the 90s was a dark time for him.
Clear and Present Danger was okay, and...
Yeah, the Jack Ryan stuff is good. I mean, and then he did... I almost said Independence Day 4. Indiana Jones 4, which hurt everyone.
Well, he was in some pretty bad shit before then, like...
Witness?
No, that movie he did with Josh Hartnett back in the early 2000s. Remember that?
Firewall? No, Hollywood Homicide.
Yeah, that was it.
Firewall is unwatchable, too.
I haven't seen it.
I did thanks to Riff Tracks. Thanks, guys. But Keanu Reeves, I've probably seen most things. And with John Wick, he's kind of back on top of the world. Even though the second one wasn't good, he's still good in it. It's just not a good movie. Like,
is that why you have that still from My Own Private Idaho hanging in your bedroom?
Well, I mean, yeah, I also have the Gilbert Grape Room as well, but that's for other reasons.
Of course. Yeah.
I have to agree with you. There's something about Keanu that is magnetic. Magnetizing, you can't look away. And I'm sorry, have you guys seen Constantine?
Yeah.
He was amazing.
Oh my God.
That showed he was an actual actor.
I mean, here's the thing. Constantine's not a great movie. He's good in it.
He's not playing John Constantine.
He's playing the character they wrote for him. He can't change the script. Like, yeah, they could have hired David Tennant to be John Constantine. It would have
actually been good casting.
Yeah, but it's not his fault they cast him in the movie. Him and, who is it, Stellan Skarsgård?
Yeah, I think so. And Rachel, what's her name from The Mummy? Rachel Weisz.
Rachel Weisz, yeah. But, I mean, they're fine in it. It's just not a good movie. He's the best part. I will watch a Keanu Reeves movie.
He's the opposite of Ben Affleck. Ben Affleck has no, in my opinion, screen, you know.
I know. Like,
presence.
You want to take, no screen presence. Mm. You want to take your eyes away. Whereas Keanu, I feel you can't take your eyes off.
I know it's a podcast, so nobody can see us right now, but Nick and Lauren look totally spent.
Yeah, we're exhausted. I was twirling my glass of red wine until it was gone. I was
taking out a cigarette and just slowly lighting it up.
Tapping it on the back of the cigarette case and just being like, oh, Keanu, my own private Idaho indeed.
Oh, Daniel, give us a synopsis for Speed. We need
a summary.
Well, I've already forgotten the title, but I think I saw a movie about a bus that had to speed around the city, keeping its speed over 50, and if its speed dropped, it would explode. I think it was called The Bus That Couldn't Slow Down.
I hate you so much.
I know you do. Well, yes, Keanu Reeves plays
Jack,
who is a member of the LA Bomb Squad. And there's this mad bomber, Howard, that's played by Dennis Hopper, who wants to get pension money because he had to retire from the Atlanta bomb squad early after he lost a thumb. So he's planting bombs all over the city. The first one, Jack and his partner Harry managed to fuse. So then he tries again a couple months later with the bomb on the bus. So Jack gets on the bus and tries to figure out how to defuse the bomb without getting the bus to slow down.
Perfect. This is a game movie, right? Like, if you were writing a script, this is not a stellar script, but it follows every script of, like, rule of script writing, right? Like, there's always a timeline. There's always a game in play. There's always, like, right? Even the first opening, I guess it's almost a cold open, mm-hmm. where there's a bomb in an apartment, or I guess it's a high rise in downtown LA,
yeah.
right? Where there's a bunch of people in an elevator, there's a series of C4 bombs set up to kind of explode in sequence, and all they're trying to do, the bomb squad, is to get the people out safely.
Yeah, which leads to that great moment when they get that woman out right as it's falling and her leg almost gets crushed.
And you have this kind of interaction with Jack, Keanu, and anyone get, I almost said Daniel Stern. It's been a long day. Daniel Baldwin's name. Jeff Bridges.
Oh, Harry something.
Jeff Daniels?
Jeff Daniels?
Jeff Daniels, excuse me, not Jeff Bridges.
Harry something.
Harry something. Just Harry. Harry and Jack.
Harry.
That's fine.
Yeah.
The two most American names you can muster. Mm-hmm. They're partners.
I totally forgot Jeff Daniels was in this movie. It made my heart so happy.
I saw this 9 months ago. Like I said, I forgot the first 20 minutes.
Because I guess this was before Dumb and Dumber, obviously, before he was huge.
It was right
huge,
at the same time,
but, yeah.
Actually, because there's that little in-joke to Dumb and Dumber in this.
What, they're both named Harry?
Well, I found this out on the Tribune. Apparently, there's a scene where Jack is standing in front of the pet shop that Jeff Daniels' character works for in Dumb and Dumber.
That's funny.
Oh.
Isn't his name Harry in the Dumb and Dumber too?
Harold and Lloyd, yeah.
Yeah.
Harold and Lloyd, I just got that.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah, okay, good.
Nice.
You need a minute.
I do need a minute.
Okay.
You guys go ahead.
So, effectively, Dennis Hopper plays this mad bomber from Atlanta, as you alluded to. He's amazing in this movie.
He's the best part of the movie.
I mean, and I like Keanu in this, but the movie doesn't work with any other bomber. It doesn't. I mean, okay, you're an asshole. If you were casting this today, who would you put in that role? Who could you do?
Well, me, obviously.
Gary Busey.
That's good casting. That's good.
I think he'd be a little too old. Maybe Jake Busey.
No. Jake Busey can't act. He has the teeth. He doesn't have the acting. I would say the problem is my thought was Willem Dafoe.
Unfortunately, he's in the sequel,
which is a train wreck. The second one, which is unwashable. That might be my most... Okay, we're pitching. Guys, I guess write in. Tell us if you want to do this. We were talking about for next season... doing our most disappointed movies.
Oh.
This might be mine. Speed 2.
Oh,
I'd go with Blues Brothers 2000.
Blues Brothers 2000 is up there for me as well, because I think the first one is a masterpiece. The second one has voodoo in it.
And that's the best scene in the movie is the voodoo scene.
I mean, the music works. Other than that, nothing else works.
Sandra Bullock has even said Speed 2 was the worst point of her career ever.
Well, I mean, this was the first thing she ever really did, wasn't it?
It was her first starring role. Yeah. I mean, she was Small Things, and like, this is charming. Her and Keanu have beautiful chemistry. Like,
really?
I get it.
Do you really think that?
I think the last bit of it, they totally pull it off.
Well, I'm going to have to play devil's advocate and say that I thought they had no chemistry. I did not believe they were a couple at all when they kissed and when they're like...
They had just met
moment. It was like, I don't know.
Did you think it was because if he was kissing you, it would have been more passionate?
Maybe.
Well, it kind of works for what they're playing because, you know, she's a scared civilian and he's this supposed to be this big tough guy whose veneer is cracking and, you know, they're going through a traumatic moment and that happens.
Well, yeah, I personally did not buy their chemistry.
I think
Sandra Bullock made her, Sandra and Dennis Hopper make this movie.
I did believe that at the end of it they were going to have sex.
Okay.
I mean, I believed.
I just in general, I imagine people have sex with Keanu Reeves, but
and Sandra Bullock
and Sandy Bullock, yeah.
Yeah. What do you guys think of her?
I tell you what, she has a character arc, mm-hmm. which is actually mm-hmm. well done. Like she's kind of the annoying like. I've known this person before, the one who wants to make friends with everyone on the bus. She's the queen of the bus in this case, or the king of the bus and the asshole I'm thinking of. But whatever. And then she has to develop actually character traits because she all of a sudden is responsible for lives.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, I think someone who has a thankless job but does a good job is the bus driver.
Oh, Sam?
Well, I mean, I think the actor is someone who's just sick of everyone's shit. He's like, hey, Sandy Bullock, just get on the bus. And then when he gets shot, he has to deal with... Like, I mean, he's fine for a character actor who does nothing. Mm-hmm. For an unknown guy...
I liked the guy whose luxury car got hijacked by Jack and was all paranoid.
You want to talk about a Looney Tunes bit from 1941.
Oh, that was great.
I mean... Also,
Alan Ruck. Because Cameron from Ferris Bueller. That was another surprise that made my heart so happy.
Keanu Reeves, my hero.
I can only picture him as Cameron forever. So whenever he's in this movie and he has the best where he's taking pictures and then go to the airport and he goes, well, I've already been to the airport.
Is like, Twister or Stay Tuned?
Beautiful.
Is Twister?
Is that a Stay Tuned?
Oh, Twister's 100% a Stay Tuned.
Because he was in that too, Twister. And that was amazing.
So is Philip Seymour Hoffman playing a guy who's talking about the suck zone for two and a half hours.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, Alan Ruck is a guy who almost had a career there, right?
Like, he's actually done a lot. I checked him out on the Tribune, and he was, you know, he did some major blockbusters. He was on a TV show for a good long while.
He was in a Star Trek movie, right?
He was in a Star Trek movie. He's done stuff.
I mean, he's just... I'm exactly Lauren's age. I swear I thought he was going to be someone... growing up watching that era of movies, you know, with him and... I mean, Ferris Bueller, of course, is one of the first comedies I really got. It's just weird to see him show up. Now, he elevates whatever he's in. Like, you could have put any rejected SNL character in that role and it would have been the same. I mean, this is 94?
I'm just picturing, what's her name from UHF? And,
Large March?
No, Victoria Jackson, right?
She's SNL. Yeah. I mean, frankly, this is 94. You could have put Robert Downey Jr. in the same role. He wasn't doing anything in 94.
He was in Natural Born Killers in 94.
And how big was his part in Natural Born Killers? This would have been a bigger part.
No, it would have been about the same.
Rejected SNL character. Okay. Robert Downey Jr.
There's been bigger rejected SNL characters.
Rocket.
Randy Quaid.
What's his name? John Rocket? What's his name?
Oh, Charles Rocket.
Charles Rocket, the guy who killed himself.
Oh, yeah.
He was fired for dropping an F-bomb.
Yeah, I know.
But, I mean, like, he does fine. Alan Ruck is fine. Like, he plays an asshole. He's just like, I'm in the city. I'm going to make it big. Mm-hmm. I don't know what his deal is.
He's a tourist who just wrong place, wrong time.
He's also one of these people who has to be friends with everyone on the bus. He's making joke-em-ups that no one wants to hear on public transit. On public transit, you put your headphones on and you shut up.
Yeah.
That's the rule. You don't bother people.
Sandra Bullock also pretends that she sits in gum so she can
get away from him.
Talk to him. I love that.
So, Lauren, do you have moves to get away from guys who are harassing you in public?
Yeah. If they ask for your number, you give a fake number. That's a good one because at least they go away.
There was a weird old dude.
Say, oh, I have to go to the bathroom. You don't return.
There was a weird old dude who was sitting next to me on the airplane who was hitting on the stewardess that I had to... I don't want to say I saved anyone because I didn't, but I ran interference on some asshole who was hitting on a stewardess. And you're just like, leave people alone, man. Everyone's trying to just do a job. Like, you don't have to hit on nurses. You don't have to hit on stewardesses. You don't... Flight attendants. You don't have to hit on people. Just let people work.
Yeah. Unless you're Keanu Reeves, in which case, fair game.
Well, no, if you're Keanu Reeves, people hit on you. See, that's the opposite.
I see.
I mean, I'm sure he's had to make an awkward taxi stop somewhere in Chicago.
I'm sorry, but I have to go to the bathroom.
I just have to warn you, I know kung fu.
I carry mace.
Guts will get you so far, then it'll get you killed.
It is something he says in this movie. All right, kids who took notes, where are we? So we talked about the bomb on the elevator. People get out. Keanu Reeves saves everyone. Randy Hopper. Dennis Hopper gets pissed off because he wants the money. He feels like his pension is deserved because the Atlanta PD cut him loose, even though he'd worked there for whatever.
Thumb off.
He wants vengeance.
And so he's taking it out on LA because that's where movies are made.
Yes.
Months later after...
Well, they think he dies because he was wearing that vest, and then Jack shoots Harry after Harry had been taken hostage. So he just walks out the door laughing, and then the bomb blows up.
See, I thought he lost his thumb in that bomb.
No, it was because
that's why... So he already had lost that?
Yes. Yeah, that's why he lost his pendant.
I thought he lost that in that bombing.
Don't worry, it's not well defined.
Right. Okay.
Don't you worry, you're not wrong.
There's that scene where they both get accommodations, and then they party, and then... it's supposed to be, I think, a couple months later, but it really plays like the next day is the whole bus thing.
Yeah.
Well, first there's that one bus that explodes after an old cop buddy gets on it.
Right. And
then the payphone rings. That was another nostalgic 90s wonderful moment.
Yeah, that doesn't exist anymore. Pop quiz hot shot. And then we have a really tweaked out Dennis Hopper who starts talking.
You know, the entire time I just kept expecting him to drop Blue Velvet quotes.
I mean, sure. I just kept expecting him to start worshiping someone.
You wouldn't have expected, like, halfway through talking to Keanu, it's Daddy, you shithead! Where's my bourbon?
I kind of was expecting him to go, "Don't you see? I'm a god, man." I was thinking Apocalypse Now. Yeah. It's the right kind of nut job. But effectively, at this point, the game is set up. You know, this is the I forget the asshole who wrote the book Save the Cat, but this is the Save the Cat screenplay, right?
That's kind of what was bothering me about it about this point, because it's like, okay, it's going to hit every cliche that the premise requires. Like, there's a bridge jump scene, there's a scene where they start losing fuel, there's a scene where they have to drive quickly through traffic and crash into a bunch of stuff.
Well, we'll get to this at the end, because I'm going to ask you this question, so I want you to think about it rather than talk for the next 20 minutes. No, I'm kidding.
Yes, sir.
But we did Die Hard around Chris Mahana Kwanzaa Donwale, right?
Yes.
And we're going to do Under Siege later this season, spoiler alert. So this is Die Hard on a bus, kind of, just like Under Siege is 100% Die Hard on a boat. Like, yeah, much more so than this is Die Hard on a bus.
Yeah.
And so obviously that means Die Hard is this quintessential action movie in some way. This comes out 14 years after that, almost? No, 9 years.
Six, I think, after the original Die Hard.
Die Hard is 85, 87?
88. Or 87, one of the two.
And so this is 7 years later. A lot has happened. And like, that's, on one hand, the question, did this improve on the formula, right?
Mm.
Now, so the game. Once the bus hits 50 miles an hour, if it drops below that, it's going to explode, comma, man. That's it.
And or so, if anyone gets off.
If anyone gets off, which is important because Crazy Cat Lady explodes.
Yes.
I gotta get off the bus. And then she violates the rules and explodes because we told her it would happen.
Well, the stairwell she was standing on explodes and she gets run over by the tires.
As we hear, dunk, which is kind of funny.
And I'm the asshole, you're the one laughing at a poor dead lady.
She deserved to die. You violate that. Like, if a. It's like if. I mean, I realize if a Saw movie happened to me, I would be the guy who accidentally trips and kills himself in the first 30 seconds. I'd be like, all right, let me just figure out the whoop, dunk, sklang. Like, that would be me. But if the killer sets up rules, man, you don't break the rules. Like, her character is dead meat from the minute we meet her because she's kind of annoying.
Yeah.
And then you realize someone has to die. It's going to be either her or the Latino guy who shoots the driver.
Yeah, the driver gets shot. The driver gets shot, and she goes, "How come he gets to get off? How come he gets to get off?"
Like, the first action set piece of that sequence is literally Keanu Reeves trying to get on the bus. Like you said, he hijacks the guy's Jaguar, as you say in the commercials.
Yes.
Please go ahead.
And from there, first there's that great scene where he's running next to the bus because it hasn't started going fast yet, and he breaks its window. And then he manages to get on, and that one guy pulls a gun on him because he thinks that since he's a cop, he's there to arrest him.
I'm sorry. Another reason I love this movie is all the cheesy 90s, like just the lines. When he's trying to break the glass and get on the bus, someone goes, "Man, that guy really wants to get on the bus."
"I can't be late again for my shift at PetSmart." That was a good piece of acting, though, by Keanu when he's trying to defuse the situation by saying, "I'm not here to get you. I'm just a guy. We're just two guys on a bus.
I don't care about your crime.
I don't care what you've done."
And then what's his name? Ortiz grabs the gun and shoots him. And you're just like, oh, fuck. Like, there's this moment where everyone on the bus kind of just goes, oh shit, things are happening. Like, I will say it must be hard, and I don't plug other better podcasts often. There's a podcast called I Was There Too, where Matt Gourley interviews other people on the bus, and they're talking about this, but like, it's hard to get this right, but you literally have people have to react as though they don't know what's happening at this point. And then eventually you have people who know what's going to happen, know the game has been set up, because I mean, I don't know. I'm not a bomb guy. But if you tell people this whole room is filled with bombs, they're going to panic. And if everyone panics on a bus, that's a problem. Like, they do a good job of trying to escalate this. Director Jan Devant. That's his name.
I know that's his name.
But, like, this works out well. It's funny how the next one he's like, we had a script, and then I had a dream about the boat hitting a dock and running into a city. So I threw out the script and just started directing.
See, I thought that the Speed 2 was like originally the script for Lethal Weapon 3 or 4 or something, and they just rewrote it.
I always got the feeling that Lethal Weapon and Die Hard movies were never scripts. They were just like, this movie could be a Die Hard script.
No, that's exactly what happened originally.
I just remember Leeches. Speed 2. Leeches. That's the only thing I freaking remember.
Oh, yeah, because Willem Dafoe used...
He has like copper poisoning or something, and he uses the leeches to suck it out of his blood, I think.
Yeah.
It's not a good movie.
No.
But I guess stay tuned.
In fairness to this movie, I do think it was new. I mean, it did, you know, the script make it fresh and new. I mean, I had never seen a movie similar to that before, you know. I do think it does a good job of trying to make it unique.
I'm with Lauren here. Like, I know what you're going to say because I read your thoughts and they're gross. But, I mean, here's the thing. Die Hard is pitched a lot. It's a different pitch than this. Mm-hmm. This is action constantly. Die Hard is him setting up his next attack. This is stuff happening to Keanu Reeves, which is a different setup.
I don't disagree that it's different from Die Hard, and I'm sure back when it first came out, it was, I can see why it would be exciting. It's just that since then, that formula's been done so much
by so many other people.
Yeah. It just doesn't seem as fresh anymore, and I don't know.
So what you're saying is this is like the Citizen Kane of action movies, where...
Well, Die Hard's the Citizen Kane of action movies. This would be more the Magnificent Ambersons of action movies.
I will say, I would have loved to see a big fat guy like that being the villain. He should have been a Bond villain, too.
Ooh.
Orson Welles.
He was in the original Casino Royale that had Woody Allen
in it. Yeah, that's not worth mentioning. But otherwise, I don't know. I love this movie because... I mean, I almost say it's restrained. They blow up a plane at the end, which is kind of great. And it's real explosions because it's 1994.
And real squibs and stuff. So, you know, that's one thing about the shooting scene. That was actual, like, it was fake blood, but there was actually something there to react to.
Well,
like,
and
can we talk about this? Why the hell did they blow up a plane? I did not understand that part.
It was an empty cargo plane that was being towed.
How did he know that?
He didn't.
He didn't.
It was luck.
Okay. You see my point?
We literally had a 9/11.
So I'm going to save these 15, 20 people on a bus to just blow up a plane that maybe entirely filled with
cans.
People I don't know.
It was just cans. It was just a plane filled with cans.
That was the greatest. That was the funniest scene.
Wasn't it, baby? It was just cans. We're okay.
There's a scene they get off the freeway where Sandy Bullock is trying to do that massive turn where the bus almost flips over. And in the end, there's this woman with a baby carriage, and she doesn't see it and hits the baby carriage, so she's panicking.
Thinking, we have a real Sergei Eisenstein scene as the baby carriage just flies through the air. Yeah.
And then it's filled with cans.
And the Keanu Reeves looks back and goes, it was cans! And she's freaking out. She's like, oh my God, I killed a baby! Oh my God, I killed a baby!
But why did they blow up a plane? I don't understand.
To make it look cool for the cans.
Just for cool, okay.
Because they had the biggest pile of cocaine they could afford, and they were like, what if it was an airplane that explodes too?
And I'm pretty sure they do say at one point that the plane was an empty cargo plane that was getting towed.
I'm sure someone
says that. I just remember the one guy running out of the front going, oh shit.
Yeah.
And then it explodes.
In Hollywood terms, if you see a guy running out before something explodes, that means everything's okay.
Okay.
I was going to say, you know what I think it was, honestly? I think that they had it without someone saying in ADR, oh, good, the cargo plane. And it was actually just supposed to be a plane, and then it tested poorly.
Maybe.
And so they were just like, thank God this passenger plane was empty. Like,
well, after the bus explodes, in order to trick Howard, they do that scene with and this is old school, where they record a video.
Yes.
This is cool.
Of Homer, Lenny, and Carl working back in the 70s.
This is the bus that couldn't slow down.
Yeah.
This was a cool bit. So effectively, Dennis Hopper, Harold.
Yeah, Howard.
Howard, excuse me, whatever. H-bomb. So what H-bomb is...
H-bomb, I like that.
H-bomb is watching them through a closed-circuit camera. They realize... Keanu's like, how is he seeing us, bro? And he realizes
because you and the Wildcat are just going crazy.
Wildcats, man.
That was his Sherlock Holmes moment, man. Yeah. Like, that was him being the world's greatest detective, which makes me realize Keanu Reeves should be Batman. Or at least Nightwing. He'd be a good Nightwing.
He'd be way better than Ben Affleck. Sorry.
Well, no, actually, I want Ben Affleck to be Batman and Keanu Reeves to be opposite him.
There you go.
Like, to be his enemy, to be his nemesis. Like, they would be a good, like, oh, Batman, it's you again. He goes, oh, Nightwing. Bro, like,
oh, he could be the Red Hood with
Green Light.
Jason Todd coming back to life and trying to kill everybody.
He could be Red Hood. I don't know. Hollywood, give me money. I'm so cold.
We don't own these characters, but by God, we know how to use them.
How have they not hired us yet? Anyways,
I'm so cold. I need money. but I don't even know where we are. Oh, okay. So we're talking about how he knows where they are. He's watching them through a closed circuit camera hidden behind the double sided mirror, and he realizes this. Keanu realizes this. So they do a loop of the tape thanks to the camera company from
the news crew that was on site trying to get the story of this bus in the terminal.
They intercept the signal and they realize this. So what they do is start looping footage. And what's
cool here. Nobody move. Just act natural.
Just like I am right now.
Just act
so
like you're
natural.
All wigged out.
And the neat thing about it is not only does it kind of work, that when it doesn't work, they notice the glitch in the footage. Like everyone actually does the role that they would have actually played.
Yeah.
That I think is well done. It's not like something obvious. It's not like someone turning too quickly and making a blur. There's a single frame glitch, which a crazy person would note, right?
Yeah, he doesn't note it for a while, too. And that was a great freak out when he realized that they tricked him.
Yeah,
no,
I mean.
Oh, no!
They cast, the star of this movie might be the casting director, honestly. Mm-hmm. Whoever he or she was, like, nailed this. Everyone is strung out. Like, we haven't really talked about this, but at a certain point, when they figure out who the Mad Bomber is, which is what they call him, the Mad Bomber most of the movie, they go to try to seize his house, try to get him. The whole house explodes, and the guy leading the charge is Harry, Keanu's old partner.
Yeah.
And there's a moment where the house is about to explode. He sees the sensor, and there's just look on his face like, well, fuck. Like, he recognizes that he was bested for just a second, and that's a hard look to get, but they get it perfect. I mean, that's what charms me about this movie, honestly. It's those little in-between moments, because it's hard to have a lead action man. And, yeah, your Nick Cages, your Bruce Willis could do it, but Keanu here is actually given a lot more to do than most. I think he does fine. He does.
It's cans.
It was just cans.
No, I agree. So he finds out that you think it's all over, right?
Yeah.
You think we're dying.
They're going to catch him at the money drop.
And they're going to catch him at the money drop.
And where to leave the ransom.
Yeah. And then Dennis Hopper has his freak out, realizes it's not accurate. So then he kidnaps Sandy.
He puts on his old police uniform, and since Sandy doesn't know what he looks like, he just comes to us like, ma'am, we're going to have to move you away from here for your safety. Well, Jack said, yes, Jack's the person that contacted me. He wants you to make sure that you're clear of here. You'll follow me. And, you know, he plays that well.
Well, and what I will say about this, too, is this is where I agree with you, Daniel. This is one scene too many. When we end up on the subway and there's another 20 minutes, I thought once, like, if you had ended it when they got off the bus.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or 5 minutes debriefing where that, I mean, they even have a final line. You know what, son? I'm giving you the end of the day or the day off or whatever he says. Fine. Credits. Like, that's it. That's all you need. Right. But then we have 20 more minutes where they're in a subway. And again, just like earlier, where the highway wasn't completed, all of a sudden.
And the track's not completed.
This city really has a lot of construction. It's terrible.
I know. It's a subtle political message, Lauren.
Yeah.
If only they'd finish MARTA, we might have a movie here.
Well, and Dennis Hopper gets decapitated by that signpost.
Oh, my God.
Nice scene.
Which Keanu Reeves' last line is, I'm taller.
I'm smarter than you,
well,
son.
Well, I'm the one with the Oscar nomination, Keanu.
He lost his head. He literally lost his head.
That was the John McClane line right there.
Yeah. I mean, and I kind of love that scene. I love the interaction between him. I'm smarter than you. I've outsmarted you.
Well, do you think the point of the sub of the subways because Sandra Bullock is handcuffed to the pole and Keanu, like the hero he is, stays with her because he doesn't have the key and can't release her. So he's a hero and stays with her. So I mean, do you think that's the point? Is so
the point was just to get a good third act.
But I mean, to fall even more in love.
Lauren, like, I mean, yes, that was the point. But they were also the last two people on the bus. Mm-hmm. Like, he did, like, literally save her on the bus. I mean,
the point is,
are you the key master? I'm the gatekeeper.
The point is literally, well, where can we go from here? Yeah. Why not a subway? Brilliant.
Okay, is there anything else in LA we could explode public? Like we've blown up a plane, we've blown up a bus. Can we blow up taxis? Taxis are small. Let's blow up a subway. And you're just like, all right, buddy.
All right.
Do you have any downers or?
We got the subway under contract for another 4 days, and by God, we're using it.
Someone bought it. They forgot they had bought it. Oh shit, we need to film three more scenes. I mean, frankly, if you cut that out, it's a tight 90-minute movie.
Yeah.
Like, even with credits, this movie's like 150 minutes, an hour and 50 minutes.
The only thing that really happens there is that, you know, Howard dies.
Howard dies. He gets decapitated. He loses his head. Mm-hmm. But other than that, there's one more kill. They kill the train conductor. They blow up the train. Then they... Actually, they possibly kill hundreds of workers underground. We see people kind of diving out of the way.
Yeah.
But, I mean, other than that, like you said, it sets up their romance just a smidge more because at the end, he repeats the line. She says, like, when they get off the bus, she has the line, you know, relationships that start under extreme circumstances never work. And then the last line is, you know, him saying it back to her, you know, I've heard that... relationships that start under extreme relationships never work. And she goes, well, we'll have to base our relationship around sex then.
Is that that thing I read in the National Geographic once? Whoa.
He doesn't read National Geographic.
He looks at the pictures.
Wow, an elephant.
Whoa, that's some good lighting composition that this photographer's using.
Man, that poor Afghani girl. Like, you know, that's... I mean,
whoa, that really touches my heart.
Are we doing Bill and Ted's?
We were going to make a topless African joke, and then we thought a bit better. We were better people.
Are we doing Bill and Ted's Big Adventure, by the way?
This is the most excellent adventure we've done. We've done both of them already. We're going to do the animated show, I assume, at some point, too, just to get back into George Carlin territory. God, we've talked forever. This is such a fun movie. I know Daniel hates it forever.
I hate it.
But we should get to our final judgment. We'll start with you, Lauren, then we'll go to Daniel, then I'll finish. Lauren?
No, I loved it. I had not seen it since the 90s, and it totally made my heart happy. Loved it. Two big thumbs up. I love the cheesy 90s. I love all the action, and the casting is fabulous. I agree. The casting director might be the winner here. So completely love it.
I don't hate the movie. I actually like quite a bit of it because they did take a kind of hackneyed action script from the 80s. I mean, it really could have been a Die Hard or a Lethal Weapon movie, but it's like, you know what? We're not just going to make a knockoff. We're going to make it as best we possibly can. You know, we're going to get a great cast. We're going to actually have some really tense moments. We're going to actually have characters you care about. Mm-hmm. So it works, and it works really well. And I can see why back in the 90s, everybody, myself included, really enjoyed it. These days, since, you know, everybody's continued to emulate that formula, I just don't think it's aged as well. But I mean, for like a hangover movie or like, oh, it's Sunday at 4 o'clock. I have to go to work the next day, but I can't really do anything. What do I do now? It's a perfect movie to watch. It is good. It's good. I just don't know if it's as great as its reputation suggests.
See, my thought on this is, I guess, similar but different to Daniel, only because I hate him. in the mid to late 80s and early 90s, you had two kind of action movies. You had the beefcake movies, you know, your Stallones, your Schwarzeneggers, your Dolph Lundgren-y, you know, your Jean-Claude Van Damme. You had your beefcake movies, and then you had your action movies. To me, right? And then so this is where you have your Seagals, your Willises, and your Keanu Reeves in this case, even though he didn't do many of these movies. That's the amalgam I'm dealing with here. Because you're right, if you put Die Hard at the top, this is, you know, maybe in the top five. But in an era where this is not only a big genre, this is kind of the only genre other than kid power movies like The Mighty Ducks. This is a hell of a good movie. You know, in an action, like, you know, so for me, action movies like this are in a genre like Bond movies. There's easily 50 of them in this era. This one might be in the top 3 or 4. And so for that, I give it credit. This movie is tight. The downtime is necessary so that you can have a breath or a bathroom break in between. But all of it's even used for character development. We figure out kind of why he's a terrorist now, which you don't get in like some of the later Die Hard movies or Lethal Weapon movies, for God's sake. Like the Lethal Weapon movies really become a trick. Or Beverly Hills Cop 4,
ooh, yeah.
the Eddie Murphying or whatever, which I think is also Dr. Doolittle 2. It's been a while since I've seen those movies.
Yeah, they do kind of blend together.
But I don't know. I like Keanu Reeves in this. It proves to me that he can kind of do action. And I don't know what the Wachowskis did, but people say they saved his career. I think they just were another step. Like, honestly, he's good. He's good without them. They're bad. They're bad without him, too. So with this in mind, of course, it is traditional this month that I give a hint, and it's not been going well because I forget to look it up every time, but I have a hint for you. Unfortunately, it took me a while. So it's going to be simple. Next month, when this comes out, it is, they've just released, about 2 days before this episode comes out, the new Avengers movie. And so, because of that, it is the only true Avengers movie from the MCU that fits into our category.
Oh.
So stay tuned next week and every future week when we put a little bit of your past on trial.
It's Blade 3, isn't it?
It is. We're talking about Wesley Snipes for the first time on this podcast. And frankly, we should spend a whole month on him. No one's ever done that before, have they?
Oh, of course not. No. That's totally an original idea.
We're out, guys. Thanks for listening.
Thanks.
Bye.
It is hosted by Nick Hoffman. It is edited by Nick Hoffman and Candace Burns. The theme song is Caroline by The Serenaders, and their music is available on Amazon. Please rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast. And tune in next week when we put another little piece of your past on trial. Thanks!
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.